Satan hates that, friends. He loves it when we come here just too tired to join in the service and just our mind tore up about every other thing going on. He hates that. He hates it when we sit there and just kind of no energy, no enthusiasm, just kind of let Satan beat us around a little bit and say, well, we'll just have another church service and we'll go home. But when people come prayed up and ready to have church, can I tell you what happens? Because see, your accuser is standing up before God all the time pointing at you. You know what he does when it's something like that? He looks over at the accuser and says, what do you think now, boy? Look at my kids now. See, because they love me more than they love you. Amen. Lord Jesus, we're so grateful for this atmosphere that has already been here, Lord. I know you're here. You love this kind of worship. And even before the word has come forth, we've let you know that we appreciate you. We love you. And we're here just to hear from you, Father. So we just change the order of the service now that the word would come forth. Lord, let it have the effect that you want to have. We know we can ask that in faith because you promised to do that, Lord. So let every person who walks out of here, Lord, walk out knowing that they are closer to you. Their faith has been increased. They love you more than they do now, Lord, because just in the next hour or so, Lord, you can make such a difference in every one of our life if we will just accept what you have for us. We believe this, Lord Jesus. We ask this in your name. Amen. Praise the Lord. If you want to turn, we're going to read a couple of scriptures in Revelations 22, then we'll be seated. Revelations 22 and 18 and 19. You could probably almost quote this once you see what it is. I'm sure you've read it many times. Let's just put this in for a little bit of foundation. Revelation 22 and 18, it says, for I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. So right away he's saying, do not add to my word. Do not do it. Now, why would he have to warn us, friends? It's because Satan is going to try to get every one of us to add to the word. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things that which are written in the book. So if Satan can't get you from walking in the light, he'll try to push you past it. And if otherwise, he'll try to keep you from going all the way into it. So that's Satan's two ways to doing it. He's going to get you to, if I can't get you not be a messenger believer, I'm going to put you past it or just not go all the way. And that's all it takes, brother and sister, not to walk in the full word. Amen? Go ahead and have a seat. Let's have church this morning. Amen. If you want to turn to Hebrews, the 13th chapter, we're going to pick up where we ended last week. We preached on Hebrews 13:9 last week. Today, we'd like to speak on Hebrews 13:10. We're going to read all the way down from Hebrews 13:7 just to get a foundation here. Hebrews 13:7 says, remember them which have the rule over you who have spoken unto you the word of God. That's talking about the ministry. Whose faith follow their faith, considering the end of their conversation, which is Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. So if the ministry that we are sitting under does not, their ministry does not confess by the Spirit and by the works and by the word that Jesus Christ is the same today, we're following the wrong ministry. But I believe we have that ministry. Verse 9, it says, be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines. So this, like I said last week, this is talking about don't lose focus that 13:8 is the foundation. 13:8 is the very thing that says what God accepts. It has to be Christ the same today, or you're off the word. All right? For it is a good thing that your heart be established with grace, not with meat. We talked about how that's the two covenants. We need to walk in the new covenant. And Satan hates the new covenant, and religious people hate the new covenant because you cannot exalt yourself when you're walking in grace. There's no self-exaltation. Which have, he said, established with grace, not with meats, which have not profited them, that have been occupied therein. They were busy keeping the law. They were busy doing all this stuff. And Jesus Christ came walking along and said, hey, there's something new going on. What's going on? You must be born again. That's what's new about this. And they said, well, how are you going to do that? And they said, now, this is crazy. How can a person be born again? Because it was totally new. But the believers heard it and something struck inside and it says, oh, Oh, this is different. This is what I've been looking for. I can be changed. I'm not just keeping the law anymore. It's just not me, but it's the grace of God to me, and I can be a different person.
Amen.
I'm not just a religious person anymore. He said, which I'm not prophet of them which have been occupied therein. We have an altar. My. We have an altar whereof they have no right to eat which serve the tabernacle. Let's speak about that. Who are these folks who have no right to your feast? Who are these folks who have no right to the altar where you at? They're serving over there at their tabernacle. They're serving in their religion, but they have no right. They cannot even approach to your altar of grace. Here's what it is. Romans 10, Paul says this. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. And this, friends, is where the crux of the problem is, because there was a time when after the fall, Cain and Abel, they both wanted to get back into righteousness with God. They both wanted to get back in communion with God, because the fall had caused them to break that communion. And they went, I want to get back with God. I want to be walking with God. Every human being wants that. And after the fall, Cain started the first church. Notice who started the first church after the fall. It wasn't the believer. And Cain said, this is what I want. And here was Satan, he was inspiring, said, you know, Lucifer is saying, I want to get back into heaven. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to use this humanity, if I can just get humanity, and God's got to save Cain, then I have an access back to heaven. But God rejected Cain's sacrifice. That's why he got so angry. Because Lucifer was realizing this ain't going to work. And so then God asked him, hey, your altar isn't going to be accepted, Cain, but look over here, your brother, his altar is accepted. Why don't you worship the way he does? And Cain said, I can't. He couldn't do it, because to worship at that altar, it takes a blood sacrifice. It does not take your good works. It doesn't matter what you believe. It doesn't matter what doctrine you follow. It doesn't matter what minister you sit under. If you don't have the blood sacrifice, you don't have access to our altar. And people offer all kinds of other things. They offer all their religion, all their righteousness. Oh, I believe this doctrine and I do this and all that. And it's totally rejected without the blood of Jesus Christ. That's the only access to our altar. And they refuse it because it's against their pride. Because something that they cannot humble themselves to say, I can't save myself. There's nothing I can do to save myself. It's totally the grace of God. That's the only thing. And human nature refuses that. Human nature will not humble themselves. It's impossible, because your human nature is an enemy with the Spirit. It cannot humble itself to that. That's why you died to your human nature. That's why you look at that thing in the eye and say, oh boy, you're dead to me. He kicks up and squirms and squalls and does all this kind of stuff. You say, go ahead, go cry in your corner, little baby. I'm going on with Christ. Talking to yourself when I'm saying that. Amen. Oh, they rejected it. Jesus came along and said, we're not going to have that. He is not going to be our Messiah. We are not going to serve that. That's not the kind of God we want. Look at our position. Look who we are. We are these great priests. We live such a holy life. Our great, 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 great grandfathers lived this holy life. And you're going to tell me it's not accepted anymore? You ever have God come and talk to you and say, I'm not accepting what you're doing? Well, that'll stub you up. That'll get you something. You feel exactly how Cain felt. I'm serious. I've been there. Some of you have too. When you know, God says, you know, I've been doing this, God, I'm praying. What's wrong? He says, I don't accept that. That's not the right sacrifice. Well, what are you going to do? Because that old nature rises right up and says, well, fine then. But you overcome that because you're still here. That's right. This is what Paul says. He says, I speak as to wise men. Judge ye what I say. So he says that before saying what he's going to say. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? Remember when Jesus said, you must eat my flesh and drink my blood? This is the, it's the word is what it's talking about, right? Because he was the word made flesh. And so eating his flesh and drinking his blood is partaking of the word for our day.
That's
right. Boy, that's key. The word for our day. Yeah. This thing is going to have to go. I'm serious. That's just the devil trying to get me disturbed, so forget that. All right, let's keep going. For we being many are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. If we are eating on the word today, we're all one body. We're one bread. Behold, Israel after the flesh, are not they which eat of the sacrifices partaker of the altar? Absolutely. Whatever altar you sacrifice at, that is where you are. That's where you are partaker. That's the fellowship you have. Friends, after Christ came and the Israel, those who weren't believers, they went back. They stayed at the altar. That altar became an altar of idolatry because they had not accepted the new covenant. They refused to walk in it. And God had turned a corner to a different dispensation. And even Jesus said, if I hadn't come, you had no sin. But I come now, you're in sin because you won't accept me. And if you stay at that same altar and you stay at that same denominational mindset, after God turns and says, this is the way, walk you in it, and you might have been okay up to that point. But after he shows you in a new way and you stay in that same place, you're an idolater. You are now worshiping yesterday. The God of yesterday. He has now become a historical God, and you're partaking of that idolatry. He said, what say then, that the idol is anything, or that which is offered in sacrifice to idols is anything? Absolutely not. That idol is nothing. Friends, this is why you don't have to worry about hanging out or fellowship or being around sinners or unbelievers, friend, because that idol is nothing. That's not going to affect me. I can sit there and talk to a Baptist about what they believe, and we can fellowship at a very shallow level, but I'm not partaking of what he's doing because I know that what I have is so much deeper than that, and that idol is nothing anyways. He has no power over me. He can't convince me. He can't deceive me. That spirit has no effect on me. Why? Because I'm walking and I'm sacrificing at a different altar. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. He said, I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God. Now, he's talking about the Gentiles who are not Christians, but they had all kinds of altars. They had all kinds of temples. They sacrificed to all the Greek gods and all that kind of stuff. He said they're sacrificing it to devils, and they were. He said, I would not that you would have fellowship with devils. What's he saying? When you sacrifice at an altar, you are having fellowship with whatever the spirit is of that altar. Ye, listen to this. Ye cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. Ye cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the table of devils. Why? Because if you are feasting at the table of the Lord, you will have nothing to do. You want nothing to do with that nasty spirit over there. And they can't even approach to yours. Oh, they're sitting in the same church. That's not what I'm talking about. Friends, this is the twins. These are the false antichrist spirit that's trying to deceive us. They're all over the message. These spirits and these people are sitting all through the message, and they could actually be sitting on a pew right next to you right now, and they're partaking of his table of devils, and you're partaking of the table of Christ. It absolutely is true, because otherwise it's not going to be a twin. Those two vines, they wrap together, friends, all the way to the end. He said, do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than him? Huh. Well, I can partake of this, and I can partake of that, and I can feed off of this in yesterday's man, and I can feed off of this, and I can do this, and I can kind of just bring everyone together. That's a compromising ecumenical spirit. It's an antichrist spirit. Oh my. That's why I said, not by power, not by might, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. And he said, this mountain will be removed, crying grace, grace unto it. Because we recognize it's nothing we did, but just grace. So let's look back here at the beginning, what Satan was trying to do. Christ is a mystery. Brother Brad said, notice Lucifer in the last days is doing what he did at first. What did Lucifer do? The first thing that Lucifer done to separate the fellowship of God and man, he wanted to build him a united kingdom, a greater splendor, instilling more culture, a greater kingdom than Michael Christ had. So at the very beginning, he set up that altar with Cain. We have Cain, and his altar was beautiful, was culture. It looked really good. It was all Cain's best effort. That's what he did at the beginning, and it appeals to human nature. It appeals to our fallen nature because we like things of beauty. There's nothing wrong with that. God likes beauty. Don't worship it. That's why the United States worship beautiful women. Because we're worshiping beauty. Satan was the original most beautiful person in heaven. And here he is, and he created this beautiful church. And he said, surely God's going to accept this. And he does the same thing today. So what he does, man, I'm going to get in trouble. He gets into church and he preaches a beautiful message that the prophet didn't preach. And he takes quotes that makes it look easy and makes it look beautiful. And it lets you to be some kind of special person in the church. And it lets you to have some kind of position in the church that strokes your ego. Because after all, I'm a very spiritual person. And the word comes along and pops that bubble. It says, you're nothing without Christ. And you sit there and you let me change you so I can actually put you in a ministry. But until I do, shut up.
That's right. Amen.
When God gives you something to say, say it. If God don't give you something to say, you're just causing problems. You're causing division in the church.
That's right.
Notice in this last day, Lucifer is doing the same thing. Can you see it? The devil doing the same thing, building up a hybrid church, hybrid members, hybrid by knowledge instead of the word, by intellectual men instead of born again men, building an intellectual kingdom that will outshine Christ's little bitty flock. What is that? Did it? Fallen angels.
That's right.
The Bible said it was fallen angels who listened to Lucifer instead of Christ, who they once belonged to. Is that right? How many message believers that come along and you look at all the ministers over the years and they come along and they're preaching the truth and then Satan comes and tempts them the same way he did Eve. And he said, yeah, but you know, God said this, but what if you look at this way? And what if you look this way? And maybe you can add a little bit to it and look how righteous you look. And people are going to think you're a very spiritual person if you would just spread a little bit more of this doctrine and a little bit more of that. And they become fallen angels who were once the ministers of this gospel. They were once preaching the truth, and then they listened to Lucifer, and they took more light. There was more light. Eve had more light. It was God's truth. The prophet said it, but she mixed it with death by taking one word different. Anointed. You've seen them. Anointed ministers preaching amazing messages, and now they're out there sitting around in their shorts drinking beer. Call the prophet a plagiarizer and a liar and a hypocrite and a false prophet. Why? What changed it? They had been walking right. You did do well. What hindered you? You wanted to go back to those weak and beggarly elements where you could have something to be in it yourself.
That's right.
He said, listen, close, fallen angels. What kind of angels? Luther, Wesley, Catholic, Pentecostal, message believers. He didn't say that, I did. Well, you're adding to the word. Sue me. It's the same spirit. I have confidence that I'm a believer because I believe the message. That don't mean calling yourself a message believer don't mean any more than calling yourself a pig. It's just a name. And what people think, well, I believe the message. I'm going in the rapture. You're not going in any rapture, friends, if that's all you got. You got to know Christ. Christ is a message living through you, not some doctrine you can quote.
Praise the Lord.
Catholic, Pentecostal, who did what? Kept not their first estate like the angels did and fell into organization like Lucifer's main hold at Nicaea. They fell from their estate. They got tricked into it. They got deceived by listening to Lucifer's wisdom, his knowledge. Because you can go into this message, if you have a gift to the minister, you can go in here and find amazing things in here. And we're going to talk about that in a little bit, because what you do is you take that and you try to impress the people and you feed them on this. And look at this new knowledge I got. And Eve lusted for knowledge. That's how Satan got here. And human beings still lust for knowledge. Look how much we know. Get focused on something else besides Christ is the same today. Oh my, what time we got? Okay. Listen close. I'm sorry, did that. He said, organize a great ecumenical association of ministers to make an image unto the beast. As the Bible said, building a Christian economy that'll close the doors of this church and others like it. See Lucifer at his work. I'm trying to bring you the threefold revelation or mystery of God. What? Do you see what he just said? He just exposed that all these false angels, and he's building this ecumenical council. And then he says, I'm trying to bring you the threefold revelation or mystery of God. What's he talking about? He's talking about those two vines and that false vine getting in here trying to make us lukewarm, formal, and powerless. And if we can expose the false vine, then you can see what the true vine is. And that's the revelation of Christ in you. When you can see that you fit the role, that you fit the place, the position of a believer, because you have not been drawn aside by Lucifer's wisdom. And there's Lucifer trying to ecumenicize people. That's not a word. Trying to get everybody into ecumenical council, trying to get all us together, and we're just going to all fellowship together. And God is saying, but the true believer stands over here at this altar where it's all grace, and you refuse to compromise because of popularity or politics. How many messing ministers have made this a political scheme? I had to say the right thing to be popular so people will let me preach for them. I had to be popular so these people will come to my church. I want people to think a certain way of me. I want to have a little bit of public relations help so that people think I'm a good person. Politicians. Christ does not run his church by politics. He never has and he never will. That's always Satan's agenda. Oh my, do you recognize the two vines? Do you recognize who you are? Because when he exposes a false, it also exposes the true. And you see the characteristics of a believer in you. And you say, praise the Lord. The tree of knowledge produced clever men, men of renown. But their ways was the way of death. Let me skip down. He says, talking about these people, said, they are religious. They believe in God. How many people have I worked with over the years? I believe in God. Satan believes in God.
That's right.
I believe the message. Satan believes the message. They believe in God. They're like their father, the devil, and their ancestor, Cain. Both of them believed in God. They go to church. They mingle with the righteous, as do tares mingle with the wheat. In so doing, they corrupt and produce a Nicolaitan religion. My, my. They spread their poison in every effort to destroy the seed of God, even as Cain killed Abel. There is no fear of God before their eyes. No fear of God. Look, when God came and dealt with Cain, what did he do? He right into his face. He was belligerent. He lied right to his face. He was angry. How many times when the word is preached, do we have the same characteristics? Oh, that made me uncomfortable. I sat there in the pew having a bad attitude, not liking what was being preached. That's characteristics of Cain. But hallelujah, you know what happened? I repented. Hallelujah.
I have the ability to repent. Esau couldn't repent. Cain couldn't repent, but you can. That makes you a child of God. Do you see who you are? This exposes the real believer, the heart of the real believer, because you're eating at the altar of grace, and there's repentance because you claim the blood. Oh my, what if you couldn't repent? Have you ever seen people that they just can't apologize? I've known them, and I just can't say I'm sorry. Oh, what a horrible spirit, friends. What a horrible spirit. Oh, my. Look, friends, it's the religious spirits. So many times we get so focused on the horrible stuff going on out in the world. That's not our enemy. That's not deceptive. Well, how did Brother Branham preach so many times? He preached about how women should dress and how men should behave and all this. And he was saying, and you claim to be born again. You claim to be Pentecostals and doing these things. It was the Christians that were being the reproach. It's not the people out there. They're not going to deceive you. My. So how does Satan go about getting this church to this way? Revelation 17, it says, there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials and talked with me, saying, come hither, I will show thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication. The inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. He carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness. I saw a woman set upon a scarlet-colored beast full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and 10 horns. We know what those names of blasphemy are. Two souls, Perugia, thunders. I belong to so-and-so's church. I follow so-and-so's doctrine. Yeah, Brother Branham, when he preached it, he called it, Baptist, Methodist, and all that. We're beyond that, friends. That's not the twin anymore. But when you see a group of people, a minister, a pastor, whoever it is, and they're being identified by specific doctrines, we believe it this way, and we believe it this way, and that's their identification, you know that you have the wrong seed. That is the wrong twin. Because this group of people, the bride of Christ is known by one thing. That's the power of God living his own life through her, manifesting the seed, the word for this hour is happening in her, and that's her identification. Christ himself identifies who you are, not because you believe some certain doctrine a certain way. You ever see someone getting off the straight word? You ever see someone trying to establish something of themselves? You know that they've been listening to the wrong interpreter, the same one Eve listened to. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of abominations and filthiness of her fornications. Hybriding the word. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abomination of the earth. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. What? John, you saw who she is. You saw her character. She was a horrible person. And he admired her. Why? She was so beautiful. She did so much. She built hospitals. She helped all kinds of people. She was nice to people. She told everyone, you're saved. God loves you. The same one that told Eve, God said you'll surely die. You will not surely die. You're too pretty, Eve. God loves you too much. You're a good person. You're sincere. You go to church. You read the Bible and pray. Same liar. Let's get down to this altar a little bit here. Isaiah 56, it says, his watchmen are blind. They're all ignorant. They're all dumb dogs. They cannot bark, sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber. This is the ministry. These are the message ministers. Now, with I'm saying this, there are real message preachers. There are born-again men who are preaching this message. They're preaching the gospel. If there's not, no one's going in a rapture. But the difference is, can you expose the two vines and show which is which? Can you recognize it? Yea, they are greedy dogs which can never have enough. They are shepherds that cannot understand. What kept them from it? Why are they this way? Because when they're offered the two altars, they were offered Cain's altar and they were offered Abel's altar, and they looked at Abel and said, that's not me. I am not going to humble myself. I am not going to do that. I'm going to worship over here at Cain's altar. Deceptive. They were deceived into it. They didn't even realize what they were doing. But it's so easy to just take a little bit, just a little word here, a little word there, and just kind of compromise. You know, after all, Brother Paul brings in a lot of tithes. I'm not going to say anything to hurt his feelings. Thanks, buddy. It's easy, friends. What will my wife say? How many preachers will get up there and not preach because of what their wife is going to say or what someone else in the church is going to say? That happens all the time, friends. You don't have to worry about your pastor. He don't worry about that. They all look to their own way. Everyone for his gain from his quarter. I need more people. I need to buy a boat. I need more people coming in. Let's have more people. And it's so deceptive, because it's, well, I just want more people saved. I just want to preach more. Let's get people to Christ. We got to get them in church first.
That's right.
And Brother Branham said, God, you're bringing them in and God's kicking them right back out. Why? They're defiling your altar. Yes. That spirit they bring in is defiling your worship. Come ye, they say, I will fetch wine. Look at me. Look what I can preach. Look how much you're learning from my ministry. I will fetch wine, and we will fill ourselves with strong drink, and tomorrow be as this day and much more abundant. What is this strong drink? It's the word. It's the stimulation of revelation. But the reality is, when these people bring it, it's the stimulation of knowledge. It's the stimulation of I can produce signs and wonders. Look at that. I can lay my hands on the sick and they recover. I can cast out devils. Look at the signs and wonders I can deceive you with. And then I just twist the word a little bit and you just love coming to hear me.
That's right.
Killing the people in the pews, and they are sheep and they don't know.
That's right.
But God knows who is his own. God knows his, and he's going to get them out of there. He's going to get them out of here. He's going to get them to the truth. Some of you have been around since back in the 1930s, my goodness, 1980s and 90s, or whatever. Jerry Bell was here. Jerry Bell was a good preacher. He was a good man, and he wasn't born again, and there's no way we're going to rapture under his ministry. And that's why he had to be taken away, because God had seed here in Dixon. It's the grace of God, friends. None of us figured it out. Are you going to say, well, I knew that. I figured it out. I was smarter. I was smart enough to know. Whatever. He says this. So she, they're talking about that church. She can't give word birth to her children, none of them. She can't give word birth to her children, none of them. She can't give word birth, because you have to be birthed by the word for your day. And when you reject the word for your day, you cannot bring them to Christ. You cannot bring them to a new birth. It's impossible, because you have to be born by the word for your day. It's a word birth. That word is quickened to you, and you recognize as Christ, and it lives itself out through you. And if you reject the word for your day, you are living in yesterday's light. She is a harlot herself. The Bible said she was. She had a cup in her hand, was giving out her doctrine to the people, which was the abomination of the filthiness of her fornication. What is fornication? Unclean living. For her doctrine she's given the people is the filthiness of her fornication. And the kings of the earth and all are made drunk with the wine of her fornication. Hybriding the word. That's what it is. When you take God's word and you mix a little bit of man's word with it. That's what it produces. Fornication. You bring forth harlots.
That's right.
Which is a nice name for whore.
That's right.
They're whores. That's what the Bible says, friends. I'm not making this up. I'm not up here trying to be mean. I'm not up here trying to just like, well, we got it and no one else got it. Christ has it. It's his word. It's his truth.
Yes.
You realize that if you are here this morning and you are born again, child of God, you are the sinless, justified, virgin bride of Jesus Christ. Impregnated by his word, bringing forth life. Now, I just used to think, well, wait a minute. If we're impregnated, how can we still be virgin? Very simple. I heard a minister speak on this recently. I just about went through the roof. Mary had a child. She was still a virgin. My. What does that mean? It means no man had touched her. No man has touched you with his seed. No man has put his own idea to it. No man has mixed his seed. You are the virgin bride of Jesus Christ, impregnated and bringing forth the life of Christ, the word for your day. That is Christ. Brother Bram says, you say, what is the message? He says, why is it that the message don't go out in these great big places, these big crusades like amongst the denominations? It's not their food. It's not the church so-called food. It's the bride food. It's spiritual food in season. Oh my, it's in season. It's right when you need it. That's when it comes. God knows exactly when you're going to be, where you're at, and he sends the word just to you personally, knowing exactly what you need to hear. And I preach 100 different things, and one was for him, one was for her, one for him, and all these different things. Everyone is not receiving the same revelation. Everyone's receiving the revelation that God has for you personally to receive right now, because it is an individual walk. It's not what my church believes. It's what you believe. It's what you believe. It's not what we believe. This. My church believes this. Oh, get out of that denominational mindset. It's not what your church believes. It's what has God revealed to you individually. That's what makes you a believer, because you heard the voice of God and you believe that. Nothing else even counts. Can you explain the seven thunders? I can't either, but I ain't worried about it, because if I need to, he'll go ahead and explain it to me and he'll show me what it is, because I don't have to explain it. I just have to live it. Oh, there is no multiple choice test on rapture morning. The angels come down and give you some test. And if you're feeling all right, you got to get them all right. Oh, by the way, there's essay questions too, so you better know how to write. You say, that's ridiculous. Then why do preachers preach it like that's what's going to happen? You had to believe this exactly right. If you believe it right, you're a believer. That's so much wash. You believe what the Holy Spirit reveals to you, friends, and he will reveal you the truth of it. It's not us trying to figure out what the prophet meant. Hang on a second. It's not us trying to figure out, well, the prophet said this, and then you have all these people sitting around, well, he said this here, and he said this here, and you quote. What do you have when you're done? A mess. You have a bunch of quotes. Look, if I can teach you or talk you into believing something, someone else can come and talk you into disbelieving it. It's true. He said, it's not their food. It's not the church so-called food. It's the bride food. It's spiritual food in season. It would make them sick at their stomach. It's too rich for them. You can't do it, but for the children, it's bread, it's life, it's Jesus Christ is saying yesterday, today, and forever. It's too rich, friends. They can't deal with it. Go to Isaiah, read more on this. Isaiah 28:7 says, but they also have erred through wine and through strong drink are out of the way. Again, friends, this is talking about feeding on the word. Through wine and strong drink, they've erred. Let's find out how. The priest and the prophet have erred through strong drink. So friends, just because someone's a prophet doesn't mean that they're not a false prophet. There are a lot of false prophets in the Bible. They are swallowed up of wine. They are out of the way through strong drink. They err in vision. They stumble in judgment. Because this word has taken, they've taken this word and they mixed it together and they mixed the drinks together and you're drinking strong drink and wine and beer and all that. It makes you sick.
Yes, it does.
And then what happens? All tables are full of vomit and filthiness so that there is no place clean. This is the altar. This is a table. This is where they are. They are the ones who are serving at the tabernacle. This is what their altar has become. It's filthy. What are they drinking? The wine of fornication. The filth of fornication. I'm mixing word with man's idea and man's doctrine and man's ideas and all this, and they're making them sick, and so they're vomiting all over. It's unclean. It's filthiness. So then God asks, well, whom shall he teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Who can I trust with my precious seed? Who is not going to fornicate with it? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. Those who have reached maturity. Those who have accepted this and walked in faith and come to that patient walk until they say, you know what? I just trust God for everything. I trust God. I am here. It's all grace. It's all by grace.
Right.
It's not grace plus. It's not Jesus plus. It's just grace.
Right.
It's just grace. For precept must be upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little. For with stammering lips and another tongue we speak to this people. So he's going to take this and reveal it to you little by little. That's where human beings struggle, especially today when everything is go, 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 fast, 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 instant everything. You get to church and it's just one step at a time. One step at a time. And sometimes it's no step. You just stand there and you're thinking, are we going to move? He says, wait.
That's right. That's right.
You trust me, right? I trust you. Then just sit there. I got this. To whom he said, this is the rest wherewith you may cause a weary to rest, and this is refreshing. Oh, my. How many times when you come to church and God deals with you and you just rest? You had something going on, you had some kind of worry or something, you know, just you can't deal with, and by the time you walk out, you're just resting. Oh, this is a refreshing. This is the Holy Spirit. This is why I come to church. This is my Savior. This is my Father. This is the grace of God to me. And I can lay my burden down and just walk in peace. I can just rest beside the still waters. Oh, he restores my soul. That's what the word does, friends. You don't walk out of here, well, I knew more than I did when I came in here. Boy, I never saw that doctrine before. Woohoo, boy, I just feel so revelated. You are drinking from vomit.
That's right.
The attitude proves it, friends. And you could have been sitting right beside the person who was resting, and all you got out of it was a little bit more head knowledge.
That's right. That's true.
This is the rest. The refreshing. Yet they would not. They couldn't do it. They could not accept it because you had to humble yourself. You had to claim the blood, not your own self, not your own righteousness, whatever else your religion is based on. You see, kids,
Friends, it's that simple. You see, we keep going to the same thing. It's that simple. It's simply accept the blood and walk in that and walk in the revelation, walk in the grace of God. You go in a rapture. But when you had to add to it or take away, these people who have been message believers and they said, oh, Brother Branham's wrong, and they walk back and they step out. We're just going to the Bible. We're just going to go back to preaching the Bible. All they're saying is that I'm going back to the understanding I had before the prophet came, back into that denominational system which was already polluted. Because all they're saying is, well, my understanding of the Bible is better than the prophet's understanding, and so I'm going to walk in that. And it was informed by some other person back there with all kinds of denominational mindset and adding to the word and taking away, and you're going back out into that same slop you came out of. But they would not hear. The word of the Lord unto them was precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little. Wait a minute. That's exactly what he said they're supposed to do. So with one, it's precept, line upon line, and this is a refs. And the other, they're doing the same thing, and it's wrong. Why? Because this is what I left out. For with stammering lips and another tongue will I speak to this people. What is it? It's the Spirit revealing it. The Spirit that's speaking with tongues and lips and revealing the word to you. It's by the Spirit. That's why it's line upon line, precept upon precept. But without the Spirit teaching them, then it's just a doctrine they believe.
That's right.
Without the Spirit revealing it, it's just their own idea. And they put this doctrine to that doctrine to that doctrine. And you cannot do that. You cannot keep it straight without the Holy Spirit. It's impossible. Impossible. And here it was, it's the second one there. Here a little, there a little, that they might go and fall backward and be broken and snared and taken. Wherefore I hear the word of the Lord, you scornful men that rule this people, which is in Jerusalem. Because you have said we have made a covenant with death, and with hell we are at agreement. When the overflowing score shall pass through it, it shall not come upon us. For we have made lies our refuge, under falsehood have we hid ourselves. And they say, and I'll go to your church if I want to. And I'll sit there and be a message believer the way I want to be a message believer. And I'll believe the doctrine I want to believe because I figured it out.
That's right.
And they have no clue what they're doing. Because everyone will be deceived except the elect.
That's right. That's true.
No clue what they're doing. Look what happens when a person gets drunk. You're not in the right mind. You're not thinking straight. Look around you. You accept, you know, in Revelation it calls the church the cage of every foul bird. Every foul spirit has been accepted into the churches. Everything. You can go to any church. You can go. They call themselves Christian. They don't believe in Jesus. You got pastors who are atheists. They will accept every kind of foul spirit to be tolerant, to be accepting, to be understanding. You can bring in transgenders and gay people and everything, and you have these people actually preaching. You have drag queens preaching from the pulpit. Why? They're drunk. They have lost their ability to think straight. They're insane. They would do things that a normal, a sane person will not do. Look at some of you who used to get drunk sometime. We done stuff that a sane person wouldn't do.
That's right.
And that's what has happened in these churches. They have accepted every foul spirit, and they're doing total insanity.
Yes.
How did it happen? Brother Bram says this, the complete total insanity this world would go right away, into right away. It's almost there now. He said that in 1965. What would he say today? You can see the footsteps of it. Walk down the street in Nashville and tell me people aren't insane. Walk down the street in Dixon and tell me the same thing. There it is. It's marching right out on the street, right down the church pew. Total insanity. Do things that a human being wouldn't think of doing and be civilized. How in the world do you start giving an 8-year-old some kind of hormone blockers because they think I'm really a girl and not a boy? At 8 years old, they shouldn't even have a clue what they're talking about.
5-year-old, a 6-year-old, and these parents are convincing their kids. I just saw a headline yesterday. There's these parents convince their little boy that he's a girl. He's standing there in a dirt in a skirt. I think he's 5 or 7, 6 years old. You say, well, they believe it. Of course, they got spirits on them that tell them those things. Because there's no priest standing there in the home. There's no priest standing in the pulpit holding that thing back. Why? It's pulpit delinquency, because if I preach against this, I'm going to lose some of my status. And people are going to cancel me. Cancel me if you can. Jesus Christ is my life. Shut me down if you can, devil. You can't. He can't take me until it's time to go. He can't take you. He can't shut your voice until it's time for you to go, friends. Look at what Hollywood's done to the woman. Look how it has robbed the sacred virtues of the woman. On and on we could go. See, all she lost. How did she do it? Because there's a subtle instrument called the church. This is Satan's instrument. The church. Fallen angels getting in the church and leading people away. What? To break the fellowship between God and man. Because he said, well, if you're not going to accept Cain, I'm going to force you not to be able to accept Abel either. I'm going to kill him. And I'm going to so defile your church, your bride, with my own doctrine. I'm going to prove to you that they love me more than they love you. And every age down through time has fallen for his tricks. Until now. Until now. You have been chosen to be a royal priesthood. You have chosen to be the virgin bride of Jesus Christ. And it's been prophesied by a true prophet, of a vindicated prophet, that you will not... You will not spoil your church like the prostitute Eve did. You will not accept that. It's not because we're smart. It's not because we figured it out. It's because of the grace of God has chosen you and ordained you to fill that role and to absolutely manifest Jesus Christ in a way that no other group has ever done. Oh, yeah. That's why he said, when I'm doing this, it's the revelation of Jesus Christ, exposing that false so that you recognize you're the truth. Because when you really find out who you are, the rapture goes. And you know how you get there? Little by little, line upon line, precept upon precept. And you come to church and God speaks one little thought to you. And you say, well, praise God, he still loves me. Oh, hallelujah. All right, let me see if I can finish here. A subtle instrument called the church, like there was in the Garden of Eden. A subtle person, the devil, walked into the church just like he did in the Garden of Eden and deceived her into it. She deceived into it. Oh. The church, the pulpit delinquency. Look, friends, you know why it's so crazy out there? Because the pulpit delinquency, when the church, called the so-called church, lets down the standard, the good people get bad. Bad people get worse. It's exactly what happens, friends. And when you look out there, you can see what's in the church. Exactly, you can see right there. You look, friends, you don't overcome evil with tolerance. You don't overcome evil with understanding. You overcome evil with the word. And sometimes you got to expose that devil who's influencing that person and say, that's wrong. And it hurts their feelings. But if they have the right seat in, they're going to say, I hurt my feelings, but thank you. Amen. Might take them a while to get to the thank you, but they'll get there. Amen. Let me finish up here. If the spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, it will quicken your mortal bodies. It will make you do things you didn't do before. So here this church gets drunk and does things they would not have done before. And we also get drunk and do things we would not have done before. Isn't that good? Look at the things that you do that I would have never done that. And here you are doing it. Because the spirit within you is empowering you to do these things. You have a new nature that likes these things. There was full of the quickening power. Your body ain't subject to sin no more. Your desire, your body not subject to sin. You can claim your inheritance and you can walk out and possess your full inheritance, friends. It's yours. You have a right to it. It's your altar. You have a right to that altar, friends. They have no right to it. Your friend says, someone says, hey, come on out here. You say, shut your mouth. They say, oh, we got the biggest. Shut your mouth. Oh, you're an eagle. Do you ever see how independent an old eagle walks? He don't hop like a vulture to every dead and all the carrion laying on the ground. No, sir, he walks proud. Shut your mouth. Satan comes to you and says, shut your mouth. Satan comes and starts talking to you. You don't run to the pastor. Hey, brother Jerry, Satan's been telling me this and telling me that. No, you say, Satan, shut your mouth. It's that easy. When we get tore up about something, friends, it's because we have been listening to the wrong voice. It is as easy as telling him to shut your mouth. Stop defiling my altar. Stop defiling my inheritance. Stop defiling the grace of God. I'm not a partaker with you. You have no right with me. He says, oh, we got a good dinner over here. Not for me. My desire has changed. My appetite is different. For man shall not live on the world of carrion alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. A genuine, quickened eagle lives by that. Oh, when he raised up Christ from the grave, dwelling in us, is quickened your mortal bodies into his presence. You recognize it. You're no longer a scavenger. You're an eagle. You don't want the things of the world. You're a son or daughter of God. You're feasting off a mountain. You're feasting at a fountain that the world knows nothing about. The world does not have a clue what you're feeding on this morning. They could even come and sit here and listen to what you're saying to Phil. If you would just be, you've been here over an hour. Goodness sakes, if you can't say what you have to say in 20 minutes, I think you got too much to say. You ever heard someone say that about ministers? I've told to me. Tell God how to run his church. Tell him what needs to be preached. You're more foolish than I am. He said, you're feasting at a fountain that the world knows nothing about. You're drinking at. The world knows nothing about it. You're eating hidden manna that the world never even know nothing of it. For you're an eagle. You're quickened up there. You can get up to. You can get to it. You can't get down here. You got to get it up here. You got to be quickened. So he said, now, if you're an eagle, you're up here flying around. You're not hopping around down here on the ground. You're not eating carrion. You know that pastor says, hey, I will fetch more. What is it? It's dead rabbits that their car run over. Let's go down and eat this dead carrion that's been 3 days old. What happens when they go and gather that manna and they kept it for the next day? It became wormy. But when that manna was put in the Holy of Holies, hallelujah. Where is the Holy of Holies today? Where is the Holy of Holies? It's right here. This is the Holy of Holies. This is the Holy of Holies, friend. That's where that manna stays in. It doesn't get wormy. But if you take that word, if you take it inside and you don't have that Holy Ghost in there, it's just going to condemn you in the end. It's going to make you sick. Because you claim to believe this, but you didn't get born again. My, that's rough. Listen to this. Oh, makes known by his prophets all his manifestation because of his attributes, of his thought expressed. You are his thoughts expressed. You understand that. Now here it is, this little woman, talking about the woman at the well. She was one of his attributes. And there was a priest representing the light. Down at the temple, there is a priest. I am the leader. I'm the religious leader, the spiritual leader of the country, representing the light. And there is a little prostitute down there that no one would have given her the time of day, much less representing the light. The priest had learned it from the Bible. He had learned that God was God. He had learned that holiness was right. He had learned that there is a law of God. He learned it because of intellectual conception. He had studied the message of the hour, and he had put quotes together, and he had seen what the prophet had done, and he could come up with a good doctrine. Intellectual conception, and he was born of the right lineage. He was born into the message. His parents were message believers. His grandparents were message believers. He was a Levite, but he only knew it by intellectual conception. And when the light of the hour, see, he learned it by what had happened. Not what was happening, what had happened. And friends, when we are message believers, and we believe this message because what we saw happen in Brother Branham's ministry, you are believing a historical God. You are walking in what had happened. You are walking in yesterday's manna, because to be a believer today, you need to see that same word, that same Holy Spirit having the same effect in your life today. And now you're believing what is happening instead of what had happened. And when all you want to do is listen to tapes, you are listening to a historical God. You are believing a historical God. Because you're saying the bride of Christ does not have the voice of God today. And the prophet said the final voice was in the bride. Oh, when he found out what was happening, his denomination said nothing about it. Therefore, he had no representation of it. But here was a redeemer on earth at that time to redeem these attributes of God. And she received it. She never questioned it. She said, when Messiah comes, he will do this. And that settled it. And she's seen it done. That's right. What was happening. There's no more questions. She said, come see who I found. That's right. Friends, that's the way the bride of Christ does today. When you hear that word, that light flashes across you, it hits that seed. Now, it might take a while to hit that seed because we got so much junk going on up here. We got so much sin, so much junk going on, so many of our ideas, so much religion. I know when I came to the message, I had so much religion chalked up there. It took years to get all that stuff out of there. You know how I got out of there? By the preaching of the word. Amen. But when that strikes there, then your nature is changed. And friends, you're a believer by nature. You can't help but believe. It's not you trying. God speaks to you and you say, thank you. And you walk out believing it, not up here. Up here it's going to tell you, never going to happen. And all you do is recognize that's the voice of the devil and you just confess, God told me. But you're not trying to believe. You're not trying to produce it. It's just like you go and flick the light switch. It's going to come on. You're not there, okay, if I flick it enough times, maybe it'll come on. If it don't come on, either the bulbs burn out or the electricity is turned off. And if the promise doesn't happen, either your bulbs burn out or you're not connected with electricity. And it might not happen for 10 years, but because God told it, you're going to hold on to that promise because you can't help but believe it, because inside you are a believer by nature. And you might even forget that promise, but that inside don't forget it. Amen. Inside, and one day all of a sudden something happens, and you say, oh, God promised me that. I forgot about that, but here it is. It's just automatic. It just naturally comes. If you have it, I just read the quote. I don't have time to go into it. But Brother Brand says something like this. I'm paraphrasing. But if the doctor tells you you have something wrong with you, and you're going to die, and you say, well, dying is part of living. God said I'm healed. And ignore it. The doctor, Brother Bram said, the doctor told him it'll pretty much retard that sickness and it probably won't even bother you. What is it? It's automatic faith. It just is there. Now, if you have to go to the doctor, I'm not saying don't go to the doctor. Come on. Do what the doctor says. Do what the Holy Spirit leads you to do. But friends, it's not you trying to heal yourself. It's not you trying to live holy enough. It's not you trying to figure out the message. It's the Holy Spirit inside of you just automatically bubbling up with this truth. Living it out. My. It's not your effort. Look, friends, the evidence is the faith itself. Faith is the evidence. That's what we hear in Hebrews. It's the substance. It's an evidence. So if you believe, you say, well, how do you know you got faith? Hey, just I believe. Up here, your mind be going crazy. Up here, your mind might not believe it. Your mind might be having problems, but something inside you just anchored. Look at Abraham. God said, Abraham, you and Sarah are going to have a baby. Abraham fell on his face to the ground and laughed in God's face and said, oh, just let do it through Ishmael.
And what was Abraham's testimony? What was God's thought of? He said, Abraham, stagger not through unbelief. Abraham, God never even saw that because he knew when he spoke it, that word had entered and settled in his heart. So stop looking at all this other stuff and look what's going on in here. Can you imagine Abraham if he was sitting there watching Paul write that? Abraham was looking over Paul's shoulder. I know he wasn't, but let's just pretend, can we? Abraham was looking over Paul's shoulder and Paul's writing, Abraham stagger not at the promise of God through unbelief was, and Abraham saying, ooh, Paul, are you sure? You read in the Old Testament, I fell on my face and laughed before God. I don't think you could actually write that. Paul had said, Abraham, shh. This is how God saw you. This is what God saw. You went down and you lied. You left the promised land. You did all these other things, but God only saw your heart the whole time because you were a seed of God the whole time. Seed of God the whole time. And all those mistakes you made, you know where they're at? They're piling up on that false altar over there. Sins heaping up. And you know who's standing over there being worshipped? Satan himself. Lucifer standing there and he's looking at all those sins piling up and he knows that he has to answer for every one of them. He's going to pay the price. He's going to answer for those sins. Not you, because your price was paid on Calvary. Amen. You have an altar where they have no right to eat. Don't you allow them to defile your altar. Don't you allow that spirit to come in and cause you to vomit. Don't you allow that spirit to cause you to drink some strong drink that's not the pure word. Don't you allow that spirit to influence you just because it comes from someone you like or someone in your family or whoever the situation is. Well, I have a lot of confidence in that person. I have a lot of confidence in that. Don't you partake of some kind of false doctrine. Don't you commit fornication with this word. If it's not coming through Jesus Christ revealing it to you personally, then you just leave that thing alone until he reveals it. That's why Brother Branham said, if you don't understand it, just put it on the shelf. Don't sit there. Well, I guess I'll believe it because Brother so-and-so said that. Well, I guess I'll believe that because my wife told me that. I guess I'll believe that because my dad told that. You sit there and you wait for God to show you the truth. And when he shows us the truth and you accept that, then you can walk in faith. Otherwise, you're going to find yourself getting lukewarm. You're going to find yourself trying, oh, I got to get to church and shout a little bit because I'm not feeling very good. Looking at the wrong thing. Let the Holy Spirit lead you completely. And you keep your altar pure. And when those devils come and they try to start talking to you, you say, shut your mouth. Stand back. Don't talk to me that way. I'm not going to defile my altar with your filth. That's your inheritance, friends. You have a right to a pure altar of grace. The blood of Jesus Christ cleansing you from all sin. Isn't that a good place to be? Amen. Let's stand. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Lord Jesus, we're so thankful, Father, that you would come and show us who we are. So thankful that you come and show us our rights as a child of God. That you come and expose how Satan tries to defile us with his false religions. The way he got Eve, the way he's got every age down through time. But you've told us again today that we will not be defiled. You told us again today who we are, Lord, and that you see only the righteousness of your faith. It's your faith. It's not our faith, Lord. It's your faith that you have anchored in our hearts. And we listen for you. We wait on you. Oh, Father, let every word, let the word, let every heart receive what was meant for that individual heart, Lord.
Quicken it to us, Lord. Let us walk from here, Lord, as we said, let us walk from here more in love with you, stronger than we were when we came. Let our faith have risen up, Lord, and take a hold of your word and claim it as our own. Lord, I pray for each one, Lord. Everyone has needs, Lord. We have weaknesses in our in flesh and our spirit, Lord. We have places we struggle. We have places of worry and doubt and fears. All these are part of the human condition. But Lord, when the word comes, it just pushes everything away. It hushes everything. It says, be still and know that I am God. That is the God within our hearts. That is the God in the holy place of our hearts where you have taken up your abode, where you sit there and you give us of the manna that never gets wormy. We feed on today's manna. We thank you for this, Lord Jesus. Oh, we thank you, Father. We just want to worship you now, Lord. Will you come and be pleased to inhabit our praises, Lord, and just water the word. And Father, even while we're worshiping, if there's something you can anchor to someone, you just speak to someone, Lord. Let it be a true communion, not just us getting anointed and worshiping and praising, but the true communion with Christ and his bride. We making love to you, you responding back, Lord. Oh, what a time we have. What an opportunity. I just ask this in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. I love you, my Lord, with all my heart.